The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.
But we're going to move next to this incident that happened overnight. A man arrested in Dublin, suspected of ramming a van into the gates of multiple state and government buildings overnight. Tom Clonan, Trinity Senator and Security Analyst, is with us. And Tom, I suppose we can't really talk about the issue in question because it's subject to Garda investigation. But what we can talk about is the concern that this happened in more than one location and potentially wasn't detected.
Yeah, it's thanks for having me on, Jonathan. I mean, look, I'd be very concerned about an attack like this. You know, from what's been reported in the press, it happened at approximately 2:30 a.m. And on a Thursday night, Friday morning, like, town is absolutely packed with people. Now, Merrion Street does tend to be a little bit quieter, but further up closer to Baggot Street and that, like, you know, you could have had people being injured, you know, people looking for taxis on the footpath. And it reminds me, you know, the use of a van as a weapon is something that was used by Islamic State inspired attacks in London and elsewhere in Europe, where vehicles are used to, you know, inflict damage on either groups of people or to attack, you know, places like the Houses of Westminster and so on. So it's a serious incident. And it'll be interesting in due course to find out the timeline, you know, how long it took for this attack to be kind of closed down. I mean, did it stop because the van just simply cut out, or was he, you know, were measures put in place to apprehend him? So that'll be very interesting. But it's part of a kind of a spectrum of behaviours we're seeing that it's a worrying trend in terms of politicians and, you know, the institutions of state being targeted by certain groups.
Yeah, but the real worry here, Tom, is that, like, if you go to Manchester Airport, if you go to Brussels Airport, these airports have been subject to terrorist attacks in the past. And as a result, they have these massive concrete barriers, ugly things that are located strategically so that you can't drive a van that may have something inside it to these locations that are obviously sensitive. We don't seem to take that threat seriously in this country. And that's a good thing. And maybe that's where our frame of mind has been after the troubles ended and the threat lifted. But do we have to start rethinking how we secure these buildings? Because strategically they are important and we can't afford to let them be targeted or damaged.
Yeah, so the houses are in recess at the moment. Now, notwithstanding that, a lot of business is conducted and transacted in the Leinster House complex on a day-to-day basis and down to government buildings. So I'm sure access hasn't been interfered with today. But, you know, you mentioned the troubles. Like, we've had a period now post the Good Friday agreements of a significant peace dividend. And really that has come to an end. And we need to kind of seriously invest in policing, intelligence, and then the broader defence spectrum, which I know has been discussed in great detail on your show and on all the other platforms. But like, when you compare us with other jurisdictions, like our nearest neighbours, the UK, they have all of the metropolitan constabularies, they have border police, they have transport police, they have MI5, the domestic intelligence agency, they have MI6, their international intelligence agency, they have GCHQ Cheltenham, which is the military intelligence, which has huge, what they call, national technical means to crawl through digital platforms and Telegram groups and so on to identify far-right agitators. And, you know...
You've given me a good list there. What do we have?
An Garda Síochána. And, right, you know, they're under strength. It's through no fault of their own. Like, the guards have to do everything. They have to do border immigration. They have to do counter-terrorism intelligence. Like, the guards are the primary intelligence agency in the state. We do have a small military intelligence unit, but it is very, very small, and it doesn't do what, you know, other military intelligence do. Again, through no fault of Óglaigh na hÉireann, but just by simply from lack of investment. So I think we've come to the end of a kind of a honeymoon period. National NUI Maynooth, a team of researchers there, did an excellent piece of research on tackling the far right, you know, civil society responses to the far right. And they identified in their research the risk of this type of incident occurring and the risk to politicians and to members of An Garda Síochána, because, obviously as a retired army officer and somebody who was active in armed support operations to An Garda Síochána during the Troubles, when we had the risk of car bombs, large van bombs and all that kind of stuff. But if you go back to the Love Ulster Parade riot in Dublin City, where significant damage was done on O'Connell Street, what's different today is with the rioting is that the rioters are actually targeting An Garda Síochána themselves, our young male and female guards that are out there in the front line. And I listened very carefully to their speeches when they were outside Leinster House last September. And they're very explicit in saying that they are targeting politicians. They're targeting all of the institutions of state and An Garda Síochána, who they regard as kind of like enforcers for a political consensus that they don't agree with. So I think we need to be mindful of that. And I don't think that the answer to all of this is necessarily a policing response, although we are seriously underinvested in that regard. But we need a whole of society, a whole of government response. The far right are exploiting concerns about issues like housing, access to healthcare. The far right have, as the Nazis did and as the far right do all across Europe, they've identified kind of like enemies of the state. In this case, in Ireland, they identify people seeking asylum and people seeking international protection, and particularly young men. They also target the LGBTIQ community, and they target anybody who looks different. And there is a huge amount, if you look at all of their platforms, it goes hand in hand with a huge level of misogyny and sexism, and they particularly target female politicians.
That gives rise to the question, though, Tom. We've seen what has happened across the water in the UK with the polarisation that Brexit brought about, which is kind of what kicked it off over there. And we have seen two MPs in recent years who have been attacked and killed by people pursuing or claiming to pursue a certain agenda. Over here, we have got politicians' homes that are being targeted. And like Irish politicians don't live in mansions. They live in fairly regular suburban houses. And outside of that, the fear must be that we are just a matter of time before somebody either gets a clout or worse. And the question is, how do we stop that?
Well, we've had TDs assaulted in the street, Michael Healy-Ray. We've had Paul Murphy from People Before Profit has been assaulted, and others. And I've seen some really awful stuff online. Owen O'Brien, for example, of Sinn Féin, I've seen him confronted and targeted, while he's just waiting for a bus, trying to use public transport. And we are, as politicians, we're very accessible to the public. I've had to actually take legal advice on being targeted in this way by a particular community with unfortunately, where there's an overlap to the far right. So the answer to it really at this point is we just need to raise people's level of awareness about it. We need to call it out explicitly. And like all other, challenges that confront us, we need to be intellectually honest about it and say, look, like the rest of Europe, the far right are here in Ireland. They have a support and assistance from their counterparts in the UK and the US. And there are malign actors, I would say, some international powers that have gone rogue who also like to promote and foment this type of, particularly before an election cycle and during an election cycle. And that's why I would be concerned. I would say to my colleagues, all politicians, local councillors, right through to people like ourselves in Leinster House, just to be, situational awareness is very, very important. And if a situation feels uncomfortable, try to remove yourself from it.
What about this text that's come in? Says the texter, we are a tiny country, not a post-global power. The Gardaí and the army are plenty. Let's relax. What do you say to that person?
Well, that's an interesting comment. But I mean, the evidence suggests
they're not a politician, that person. Anyway, I can tell you that much. They're sleeping comfortably without getting abused down their line.
Yeah, I mean, look, I am a very strong advocate for Irish neutrality and, the powerful voice that we have in the world for peace. But I've also been very consistent in saying that we don't have the minimum that's required to defend ourselves. We've fallen very far behind, and we're provocatively weak, and that invites mischief. Like, we're the only jurisdiction that can't see into its airspace, that can't monitor its maritime domain. We have very poor cyber and digital defences. And now in the intelligence and policing side, we have this new and emerging threat that we need to, you know, and call it out, admit that this is a problem, and then, you know, the proper investment and recruitment to deal with it. And, you know, you can't stop somebody driving a van into up onto the footpath at people or a building. You can't stop somebody going into a constituency office and attacking somebody. All you can do really is try and close down an attack like that as quickly as possible. And that requires resources and that requires investment.
One text in, how did a guy drive and ram the front gates to the Oris and government buildings? Is there not 24/7 military or guard the security? This person says they're very confused by it. Now, we don't have the timeline, which is probably the issue. To the best of my knowledge, the security gate at the front of government buildings, it has a permanent Garda and military presence. I'm not sure about the gates to the Attorney General's office or indeed the gate that was rammed in the Phoenix Park. The answer is probably not. And you'd be looking for a response if something happened there. But again, it goes to the vulnerability of these buildings.
Well, it goes to the vulnerability of the young guards, male and female, who stand outside Leinster House every day at all of the entrances. Because, you know, we have an unarmed police force. We police by consent. It's on Garda Síochána. The clue is in the name. And no amount of, you know, what are they expected to do? Act as human shields and just stand there? Like, you can't, as I said, you can't prevent somebody from doing this. It's what you do afterwards. It's your reaction time. It's how you respond to it, how you deal with it. There is a 24-hour military and Garda presence within the government buildings and Leinster House complex. I wouldn't comment any further on it, but there is a 24-hour presence and it's a mobile presence. But really, the answer to this, though, lies, I think, in some of the concerns that are being raised. And again, the Maynooth University study, you know, responses to the far right is very, very clear on this. Government needs to communicate very clearly on the solution to the housing and homeless crisis. And also we need to counter the narratives around immigration that are so toxic and negative. And we need to welcome and, you know, embrace diversity. Like, I have a son who's a wheelchair user. I have a son who's 22, he's a wheelchair user. And it's males from places like Nigeria, Cameroon, from Asia, who come and care for him as though he were their own son or their own brother. And these are the unvetted males who arrive on our shores, who are characterized as being a threat to our society. They're not. They're a threat, you know, like any cohort of people. Of course, you're going to have a small element. But we need to counter those really toxic narratives. And we need to, the government really needs to communicate very clearly to people like, you know, the residents in Coolock, like I'm from Finglas originally. And, you know, there's a lot of false information out there, like there's people saying that there's no protection centres or asylum seekers or, you know, hostels in affluent areas. I live in Black Rock now, and there's, you know, we do have those centres here, and there's, you know, okay, there's no issue. Communication is quite clear. So it's countering those toxic narratives that's really important.
And but that's what is required.
We do need to invest.
Yeah, pardon? What is required is good people to do things as opposed to doing nothing, which is what evil tends to take advantage of when it's out there. Tom Clonan, security expert and indeed Trinity Senator, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.